This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Right now, though, we're turning our attention over to Indonesia, which has become Asia's COVID-19 epicenter, overtaking India with the hospitals strained and oxygen supplies running thin. The country's seven-day average of deaths is more than 1,500, and the case numbers hit just shy of 48,000 as of Wednesday, July 28th. Now, since the pandemic began, the country has reported more than 3.1 million cases 83,000 deaths. But those official figures are widely believed to be a severe undercount due to low testing and tracing rates.
At the start of this month, the Indonesian government implemented a multi-tiered movement restriction to curb the spread of the virus. But this week, some of these restrictions were loosened despite the wave of cases. As for its immunization program, only less than 7% of its huge population, 270 million, have been fully inoculated with two jabs. So I think given the dire situation, how Indonesia handle this latest surge in cases?
So for more on this, we are speaking this morning with Media Wahyudi Askar, researcher at the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance based in Jakarta. Media, thank you so much for joining us today. So this latest wave of COVID surges has seen cases climbing and deaths in the thousands. What's the on-the-ground sentiment like amongst Indonesians now? I mean, how worried are they about the pandemic?
Our situation at the moment is not good. Actually, the government has tried their best with vaccination, mobility restriction, improved supplies of medicine, oxygen, and hospital beds. But in reality, the situation is much more complicated than the government expected in terms of the health facilities, for example. Despite the government keep saying that the situation is under control, we can see that in certain regions, hospitals are still running out of rooms and oxygen. In the first half of July alone, for example, 100 doctors died from the virus, and more than 1,500 healthcare workers have died since the beginning of the pandemic. The number of the new cases increased significantly since the last few days. The government locked down all the economies and closed the malls, the market, and at the same time, the government should deliver enough cash, enough incentive, and enough money for the people, but it looks like the government failed to do so. The government said that it will be approximately 2 weeks at the beginning, but until today, you'll have to wait maybe for the next few weeks and see whether the cases is going down. So in terms of the economy, for example, the businesses, they don't really know what's going to happen by next month.
But we've read that the government is allowing small shops, street-side restaurants and some shopping malls to reopen despite warnings it could unleash another COVID-19 wave. Is this a wise move?
Yeah, I can understand the reason. It is a whole debate in Indonesia. Should states open the economy and get the country moving again? So I think my suggestion is that whether this is a wise move or not, the first one, relaxation should always come with rules. So we need to keep imposing strict rules on the wearing of masks, for example, social distancing and so on and so forth. And one thing that we can do, I mean, in the context of Indonesia, is to do that by region, for example. Just like what France and Spain did, I think last year, and the United States also adopting such a strategy by letting states decide when they reopen. Again, this is not easy. The efficacy of such an approach will depend on the coincidence between the epidemiological and economic realities. And this is the problem at the moment. In Indonesia, we don't have a clear rule how to combine epidemiological data set and economic policy. When should we reopen the economy? How we reopen the economy? And in here, in this case, we need a good leader. Many people criticize the government at the moment because it looks like some of the policies are not based on data science. I don't know whether you heard that in Indonesia, there is a 20-minute time rule for dine-in visitors. And many people say that this is not really effective because it's a pity, you know, why do people eat in a hurry? So I haven't heard that this kind of policy has been done in any other countries in the world.
Meanwhile, has government aid been helpful?
Yeah, the government tried their best. We call it Bansos, Bantuan Sosial. So the government delivered a huge amount of money in the form of rice, cash, and also training. And the problem is how to deliver it to the right person. So that's the main problem in the country at the moment. And in fact, the second wave hit the country. The government imposed restriction, but at the same time, the government is not able to deliver a significant amount of money to the people. So this is the problem at the moment. Okay, we will stop the economy, but give us money, give us something so we can survive, something like that. So this is the current situation in Indonesia at the moment.
So how would you suggest that the government then balance that delicate line of keeping infections at bay while also helping out an already battered economy?
There is always a debate between health and economy, right? And even me, myself is an economist and my wife is an epidemiologist. And last year we had a debate between lost lives versus lost livelihoods. But we finally agree that health should come first. Health should come first, and prioritizing health could help rebuild economies. And many people already understand that, but the problem is that, okay, at the moment, the country suffer from the second wave, and then you need to stop the economy for now and wait for the data if there is a trend of decreasing in terms of the number of COVID-19 cases, and then we can reopen the economies. But this always comes with a requirement. If we protect the people right now, we have to do it in the right way, as I said before. So it's not kind of, okay, we stop the economy at the moment, but after that, the third wave is happening again, and then the country will get worse and worse in the next few months. People right now in Indonesia can wait. Most of them can wait, but they cannot wait for more longer. I mean, for 2 months is too long for many of us.
Nearly 19,000 foreign nationals have left Indonesia since early July, an exodus led by Japanese and Chinese expatriates. What kind of FDI impact can we expect if the virus is not kept in control moving forward?
Yeah, it is a sad situation. Many foreign nationals that have left in Indonesia. Actually, the FDI has grown rapidly for first quarter this year. And that means there is investor confidence and the economy start to recover. But then second wave hit the country. Looking ahead, I expect FDI remain weak. And this is also because of the slow vaccination programs, poor economic support packages, and also fragile macroeconomic situation. But for me, from the company perspective, for example, there is a very little positive news in recent days. I know that smaller companies at the moment are staying at home, but some of the large companies are making large bets. They keep going and fully operational because they can afford to play the long game. But again, at the end of the day, maybe there is going to be people who want to sell in Indonesia because this is one of the largest market in the world. But the question is not that. The question is how much the country lost the economic opportunity.
Indonesia's vaccination levels remain well below the 1 million a day target. Is there any indication that vaccination can be ramped up in the near future?
Yeah, the situation is very complicated. The government cannot achieve the target so far. And I don't know, I think the main issue is a supply chain problem. And it is clear that vaccine is one of the key managing this pandemic. And not only that, the situation is also about public distrust on government. You know, they hate the government and they don't want to be vaccinated. some of the citizens hate the government, how they control this COVID-19 very bad, and then they don't want to be vaccinated. This is the problem. So this is there is also the case that vaccination is available in the region, but people do not want to get a vaccination. And also there is also a problem with the fact that some of the regions in a very rural or remote area, the vaccine is not available at all. So this will need a good intervention. This will need a good management on how to maintain the delivery of the vaccination and how to make it available for everyone. Because at the moment, even in Jakarta, for example, if you want to get vaccinated, you will need to join with a long queue. And if you go to the rural area, the vaccination is not available at all. So that's the problem.
Media, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Media Wahyudi Askar, researcher at the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance based in Jakarta. And I think what struck me from that conversation was when he said that, you know, the people of Indonesia can wait right now, but they can't wait another 2 months, right? Because that just illustrates how dire the situation is for them and even, you know, for us here, because a lot of that was very familiar. So this is something that we will be keeping a watch on. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.